today on Anchored in the Word.
God's got plans, and His plan ultimately, as Jesus said, you know, He had a plan in the garden that night. He had an idea that He wanted to, Lord, if there's any way this cup could pass from me, the cross, He was praying three times that He could somehow escape what He was going to face. But He said, nevertheless, Your will be done. That's what we're talking about. The will of God, not yours. The will of God. So when you say something like God willing, what you're basically saying is, not my will, but His will.
But I'm anchored deep in Your clean love. I'm anchored deep in who You are. I'm anchored deep in Holy Word. I'm anchored deep in You, my Lord.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman. Practice makes perfect. We do a lot of things to perfect ourselves. But today, we'll be challenged to consider how we're perfecting ourselves according to God's image. As Pastor Bill explains today, we're meant to be set apart. And the more we practice the presence of God, we'll become closer to Him with each step we take. At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of this broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. Now, here's Pastor Bill with today's edition of Anchored in the Word.
You need to say no to people, to stuff that people want you to be involved in. And I had this unbelievable life illustration, and God does this. I hope He does this to you too. I went to, with this idea of saying no, you know, being able to say no for the right reason. And not, you know, saying yes when you should be saying no to something, right? Because, oh, you feel pressure, right? You feel pressure. Somebody asks you something, you feel this pressure. Instead, think, what would God want me to do? You see, that's practicing the presence of God. It's not about you. It's not about that person that's asked you something or what you want to do. It's like, what would God want? Now, you may not know that right away. So here's what I want to say to you. It's okay to say to somebody, you know what? I got to pray about this. And that's not just a cop-out, just so you can buy some time and get out of their presence, get out of their presence, you know what I mean? No, I'm seriously saying, it's okay to say, I need to pray about this. I'll get back to you on that. Now, you got to get back to them and go ask the Lord. Because this idea of being pressured into saying yes, it's not of God. How do I know? Because when you're led by God, you're led by His peace, not by pressure, right? You know what I'm talking about. I mean, come on. Am I the only one that's ever experienced this? Where you're in a situation where you're like, ooh, I hate to say no, but that's not, you know, and you're going through this, you get this person there, this little puppy looking at you or something. You're like, you know, it doesn't even have to be a little kid. It can be somebody that you don't want to say no to in life, right, for whatever reason. But it doesn't really matter. What does God want? As I'm thinking about this, and I go to visit this, we're getting some work done here in the church, and I'm going to visit this guy that's going to make something for us to go into this space. And the poor guy, I felt so, my heart went out to this guy. One of the things God's convicted me of is to stay into the community. When we do something, try and visit a local vendor, even though I like buying stuff on the internet, it's cheaper a lot of times, right? Although there's no guarantees, but I don't get to see the people then. You know, we're here to touch the people in our community. So in saying that, I'm not going to tell you who this is, by the way. But I go to this person, and I go in, and he almost looks like a one-man operation. It's not. There's probably a couple guys working there. But you can see he does a lot of, it's a good amount of business, I guess. And this poor guy, he looked worn out. He'd been sick a week ago when I went there originally. He was supposed to call me back, and he wasn't there. Another guy said he would call me back. This guy would call me back. He never called me back. It's a week later, so I'm going in personally, right? And I go in there. That was a God appointment. I go in there, and so as he's talking to me, I'm explaining to him who I am and what I'm there for, and he gets a phone call. And he doesn't have anybody answering phones. He has a portable phone that he carries with him back into the shop to work. You know, so he's everything. He's right in front of me, so I'm not eavesdropping him. He's right there, and he's saying to the person, well, you know, you told me that you wanted it for Saturday. It was going to be ready for Saturday. Now, here, I forget what day it was, but Saturday was like 4 days later. And so the guy says, very meekly, he says, he didn't ever say, no, you can't have it. He never said no. It's not going to be ready. He never said that. He just let the guy talk, and he goes, well, or the guy that brought it in asked me if he could be ready for Saturday. And so, well, I'll do what I can, you know, I do what I can, right? Even if we don't say it, we think it. And it never happens and end up being a flake. Or here's what ends up happening. You end up looking like that guy looked. I mean, if you can't say no, the original agreement was that the thing was going to be ready. You know, that was when he took the thing in. It was going to be ready on Saturday. Well, the guy now calls back, a different guy in the same company apparently wants it sooner. So what do you do in a case like that? When you're a one-man operation and you get all these other jobs, because this is what he told me, I got like 50 jobs going now. He told me that when I first came in. It made me feel like, oh, I feel like I'm bothering the guy, you know? And then he gets that phone call after he told me about the 50 jobs he had. And so what do? You say no. That's all he had to say. So he gets off the phone, like a five-minute conversation, and he never told the guy, no, I'm not going to give it to you when I said. But I'm thinking, I recognize this mode, because you end up being a flake. You end up being a person who doesn't call another person for a week because you can't say no. And you get all these people coming at you and you refuse to say no, so you can't make good on all your yeses. That's just the way it is. So anyway, the guy gets off the phone and man, he looked, you know, he'd just come back from being sick. And I said, I felt really bad for even being there, but you know, I figured, so I said, you know, you could have said no to him. I was trying to minister to the guy, you know, you could have said no to him. And I said, you know, we're his customers. We don't mind hearing no. It's a little bit of a disappointment, but we can live with that. You know, we can live with no. And, you know, and I was learning a lesson as I'm trying to tell him, you know, I'm thinking, yeah, this is good, you know. And so then I had, after that time goes on, and I had somebody came up to me and asked me for something, you know. And I got to tell you something, this person I love very much, and the request that they asked me was not beyond something I could say yes to, and it would help them out with what they were doing, you know, directly. But I don't want to be specific about what it was, but what I'm saying was it really wasn't, I didn't have a peace in my heart about it, and it would kind of be going against something that's already like a policy or something set down. Not something evil or anything like that, but the point is, there's a time to say no. But I didn't say no, but I did say, let me get back to you. I did, so I'm growing, all right? I said, let me get back to you, but because I wasn't sure. And I did pray about it. And again, I'm still learning the lesson, you know, about why God's doing this. Because I'm practicing. It doesn't matter what I want or what I think they want or what are they going to think of me if I say no. I mean, so many times that's what we're all about, right? It's about me. Oh, they're going to, you know, I'm going to be this in their eyes. Who cares what? It only matters what God thinks, really, not what somebody else thinks about me. But practicing the presence of God, this is what God's shown me. If I will practice more the presence of God, those kinds of things will be much easier for me. You understand what I'm saying to you? It'll be much easier to say no for the right reason. And when you say yes, because it only matters what he thinks. Now, sometimes I'll have to say, you know what, I got to pray about this. Let me pray about this. And if people don't like that, that's too bad. That's their problem. If they're just trying to manipulate you and they're not trying to get their way, let God deal with them. But Paul just said, no, I can't consent to this. But look what he goes into. He says, after that, he says, I can't stay. He says he did not consent. But he took leave of them, saying, I must by all means keep the coming feast in Jerusalem. But I will return to you again. Now, how about that one? You feel like you say no, you got to give him a lollipop at the same time, right? Or, you know, you say no with this long explanation about why, you know, you're singing and dancing and trying to explain to them why you're having to say, you know what I'm, somebody laughs, so you know what I'm talking about, right? And we don't have to even do that. We just have to listen for God. And if he says no, it's no. And then let the chips fall where they may, because God's got a will, by the way. And I can't always understand what his will is for me. I know this for me, but what about other people? He's got a will for other people. So if I continue to just to do things my way, not only am I affecting my life in a negative way, but I can be affecting somebody else's life in a negative way. Maybe God didn't want them to go that way. You know, so it's just walking in the Spirit, practicing the presence of God. And Paul said no, but he did tell them what he was doing. He says, and notice that it's not just a religious excuse, it's God's at the center of it. He says, I'm going to Jerusalem to keep the feast, but I will return to you again, he says. I'm going to come back and see you. He says, God willing, and that's what I want us to also the point here I want us to sit on for a minute. The idea of God willing. Turn to James chapter 4. James is talking And he's talking about arrogance here. He's talking about a people who are making plans and leaving God out, not practicing the presence of God, because they have things they want to do. I want this and I want that. When you hear yourself saying that, me and my wife practice this one. You know, when we, well, I want this, you know, and we point out to each other, oh, it's all about you. You want this and you want that. You know, we stop dead in our tracks. You know what I'm saying? It's not about what I want. It's about what does God want? It's more than just words when we're talking. But let's look and see what it says here, what James is saying in James 4, starting in verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. You know, making plans. There's nothing wrong with goals or making plans. Verse 14 says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. See, do you understand that? You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, and I like this about God because he tells us, this doesn't just say stop doing that. He tells us what we should do instead. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. And then he goes on to say, but now you boast in your arrogance, and such boasting is evil. So what he's saying is, it's not just religious jargon. He's not just saying, you got to learn the Christianese. You know what that term means? Christianese. After you become a Christian after a while, you start using these terms that only other Christians can understand. Right? I'm covered in the blood. Well, if you're going to say it to a non-believer, they're like, covered in the blood? What are you talking about? Yeah, I'm covered in the blood. Don't you know? Well, that means that I'm robed in Christ's righteousness. He's forgiven all my sins because I believe in him. I trust in him. You're a Christian. I say, I'm covered in the blood. You say, right on, let's sing a song. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He's saying, you got to understand something. There's a greater reality than the reality that you used to have when you were a non-believer. You understand that? We're living in it as a Christian in a greater reality. I know some of you women have heard that. My wife's using that one like crazy, but I'm going to use it now too. She's affected me. But it's good. We're living in this greater reality now that we're Christians. We're walking in the kingdom. We're no longer a part or doing our own thing, but now we're part of his kingdom and he's the king and he gives us direction and we now walk in what he tells us to do. We're his servants. And when I make plans, God's not against goals. He tells us to watch and look at the ant, how they store up. You know, so it's not like we can't, oh, we can only live in today. We can't. No, God, he tells us to be wise, but you know, he's not against, I don't believe God's against life insurance. I don't believe that God's against 401ks, but I don't believe that everybody has to have one. I don't believe that everybody should have it just because some people do. You know what I'm saying? Ask the Lord, but just because you don't have it means you're more spiritual than somebody that does. You get what I'm saying? God knows everything about each one of us and he deals with us in a little bit of a different way. So it's about discerning the will of God for each one of us. Now, but what James is saying here is the wickedness, the evil is leaving God out of everything. You're making your own plans and you're doing your own thing basically. And like God isn't there, you're not practicing the presence of God. And so it's not just, well, let me just add, if the Lord wills, to my plans, you know, to make it religious or to make it more Christian. That's not what he's talking about. You're missing the point. He's talking about practicing the presence of God. Now, adding that to your vocabulary, by the way, is a good thing. If the Lord wills, because it reminds me of God's presence in my life. It reminds me that I've got plans. God's got plans. And his plan, ultimately, as Jesus said, you know, he had a plan in the garden that night. He had an idea that he wanted to, Lord, if there's any way this cup could pass from me, the cross, he was praying three times that he could somehow escape what he was going to face. But he said, nevertheless, your will be done. That's what we're talking about. The will of God, not yours. The will of God. So when you say something like God willing, what you're basically saying is, not my will, but his will. You see that? Anyway, back to Paul. Acts 18. So he says, I'll come to you again, God willing. So he gave them a little lollipop and he loved them. He didn't want to leave them. But he said, I'm going to come back if God wills. I'm going to come back. because I'm following God. And if he tells me to come back, my heart's wanting me to come back. And if God says yes, then I'm coming back. And by the way, if we practice the presence of the Lord this way, we'll be less likely to be known as a flake. And as a Christian, we don't want to be known as a flake. You know what a flake is, right? A flake is a person, basically is a liar. Did you know that? A lie isn't just something that you purposely set up to deceive someone. That's a lie. But when you say you're going to do something and you don't do it, you've lied. Do you understand that? So we don't want to be a liar. We want to be a truth teller. So what I'm saying is, if we will just back off and just and seek the will of the Lord and recognize his presence, that will help me in that. So he says, God willing, and he sailed from Ephesus, verse 22. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and greeted the church, he went down to Antioch. Now that one verse, a lot is going on in that one verse. I'm just going to say this to you. When he landed at Caesarea, that's the seaport there that's on the edge of the Mediterranean, where Israel is today, and he was going to land there and then go up, that's Jerusalem. It doesn't even say it. I mean, it says he went up and then he went down to Antioch. But when he went up and he saw the church and he saw the people in the church in Jerusalem, and then he went down to Antioch. And by the way, verse 23 now starts the third missionary journey of Paul. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over to the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. Now, we're going to finish with this idea. First of all, Paul's going to Turkey now. He's heading out on his third missionary journey, going to Turkey. But I want us to turn to Matthew. We'll end with this verse, Matthew 28, 19. As we look at this guy on this missionary journey, I want you to know something. You need to view your life if you're a Christian today. You know, we're told that we're a pilgrims passing through. We are on a mission trip right now. Okay, we are on a mission trip. These are the orders that we have from Jesus on our missions trip, okay, that we're on. Matthew 28, 18. Jesus says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, his disciples, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. In other words, everything the Father had given to Jesus. And he says, as a result of this, verse 19, and here's the call that we have on each one of our lives as Christians. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And I want you to see the very end of this, because this is so important about this great commission. That's what this is called. You've heard that, right? The most important thing for you and me to grasp today about the great commission is not where am I going to go, where am I going to go, what am I going to do? That's not what I want you to see today. What I want you to see today is what Jesus said after he gave them the great commission. He reminded them of something that he's reminding you of today again. He said, and lo, I am with you always. In other words, he's telling you about his presence. Very important point today. So I want to end with that is God's presence is with you. Not only is he in you if you're a Christian, he's everywhere here. And you can't do this apart from him. This meaning the Great Commission. You'll end up just going witnessing in the flesh. And I'm not even saying God can't use that. I'm saying that's not the greater reality. The greater reality is you're to be a witness. Hey, and go witnessing too. But be a witness 24/7. Not just to the people outside of your home, the people in your home. And so Jesus told them, as he sent them out, you're to go. And he said two things. He said, making disciples and teaching them to keep the commandments. In other words, tell them who Jesus is, how you come into the kingdom, how you can become a part of this greater reality, how you can become a part of that. That's giving them the gospel message. And then after they receive Christ, not just leaving them there, right? But then now you will disciple them. That's what Paul was doing at the very end. He says that he was strengthening all the disciples. Here's what I'm here to say. You need to be strengthened. I need to be strengthened day by day, one another, with one another. But here's what I'm telling you. You say, yeah, there's another one, Pastor. Let me write that one down. I got to practice that one too. I got all kinds of things to practice now. We can't just have principles without the prince, right? That becomes religion. That becomes religiosity. That becomes just, it's something very rigid. What we're talking about is relationship. We're talking about my walk with Jesus. As I walk with Him and practice the presence of His life in my life, all these things that He talks about in the Word, I'm not saying I don't need instruction anymore, but I'm saying they almost come naturally, or rather supernaturally. And I'm even talking about saying no at the right time. You understand that? Not fearing man, but fearing God. In other words, when you get to a place where you fear God, that's knowing His presence. In His presence is a place to be feared. Isaiah saw it when he got a presence of the Lord. Man, he was fearful. He went down and he recognized who he was. I'm a sinner. And he recognized in the presence of Almighty God who he was. And so many times we're all practicing my presence. You know, think about haircuts. I can't remember getting many holy haircuts. My haircuts were all about, well, I had hair at one time, okay? And I still, you know, I still could have this trimmed. Unless you see hairs going like this, you know. So it's, you know what I'm saying? When I'm cutting my hair, I think about, what is God thinking about right now? Am I cutting it for God? Am I doing it for me? Whatever. The point is that He's called us to a holy existence. And that's a set apart life. And that the more that I practice the presence of God in my life will be set apart. So He's calling us to that, if you're a Christian here today, to practice the presence of God in your life today. Now, if you're here today and you're outside of the kingdom, that means that you don't have Jesus in your heart as Lord and Savior, that you haven't confessed Christ as your Savior. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means that we're all sinners, and that as a result of that, we need a Savior. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. I'm sorry, the first part is the wages of sin is death. As a result of me being a sinner, guess what? I'm going to hell. That's what the Bible says about sinners. Unrepentant sinners will end up in hell, the Bible says. Separated from God. You know the thing about hell that makes it so bad? There's no presence of the God there. None. For all eternity. And the Lord is calling people into His kingdom. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Receiving Christ, living in that greater reality, starts with receiving Christ as Savior. Have you ever done that? Have you asked Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Lord and to be your Savior? And are you walking with Him? Are you practicing that, the presence of God? Because you can receive Christ and then go off and do your own thing. Well, I was practicing that at one time, but then I kind of went off and did my own thing, and now it's all about me. Well, God's calling you back into His kingdom today. You need to get right with God, whether you've never asked Him to be your Savior, His Savior, or you have walked away, and He's calling you into that right relationship today.
One of the most powerful declarations of the gospel comes from the words of Peter in the book that Pastor Bill is currently teaching through. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter says, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." As we go through the book of Acts with Pastor Bill, we'll hear more examples of people just like Peter sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. You've been listening to Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Bill Beckelman of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey. If today's teaching has ministered to you and you'd like to tell a friend about this message, or if you'd like to listen to it again, it's archived at our website. That address is anchoredintheword.com. Perhaps today's message was exactly what you're looking for in a church. If you don't have a home church, you sense God is calling you to join believers in worship, please join us this Sunday morning at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. Pastor Bill also shares in-depth Bible studies every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. For more information, including driving directions, visit anchoredintheword.com. And then follow the link to the Calvary Chapel Coastlands Church website. We hope to see you soon. Thanks for listening today. Now please place a marker in your Bibles and make plans to join us again as Pastor Bill will continue teaching verse by verse through the book of Acts. It's our heart's desire that you would be moored in sound doctrine and anchored in the Word.